United State event owner. Oh.
Go.
Yo, what's up, guys? Ash Cash, the financial motivator, and you are now tuned in to the Blowing Bubbles podcast. Guess what, y'all? Stay popping. Let's go.
What's up? What's up? What's popping?
Hey.
Hey, everybody. Happy hump day. Come on in. Let's get it. Let's get it. Let's get it. Victoria, you can go to your Facebook and or find my Facebook and share to your page.
I got you.
I need some water. Dag on it. I sat down without my water. Whew. Y'all might have to excuse me for a second because I'm parched. Whew.
Go on and grab me some water, kid.
The way I'm pinned in here. Oh my goodness. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Come on in, everybody. Okay, we got a few folks on. We got a few folks on. If you are watching via Facebook and you have not yet given StreamYard permission to access your comments, I will not see your comments. I will not see your comments. I will not see your comments. You can go to StreamYard.com, simply grant them access to your Facebook. That's all it is. You don't have to register for anything. They just want, for whatever reason, you have to have permission. Hey, TJ, DMV in the place. You have to give them permission to see your comments, to access your comments. And I know that I know that I know this conversation is going to be live. I want to be engaged. I'm telling you, you can be commenting all day long and I will not see it. My guests will not see it. So please and thank you. Jump on StreamYard.com and give us permission to access your comment or give them permission. I don't see it until you comment. Let me know where you are from. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And DMV to Navia, she gave us a shout. And I'm going to also jump on myself so that I can see I can see Facebook. However, hey Dwayne, my big cousin brother. I am I'm on, but I can't always watch my phone. So man, I am so excited to have you here. We have been talking about this for quite a while now. And we finally linked up and made it happen. What's good, my sister?
What's going on?
Oh, man. Good to see your smiling face. How was your week?
My week was good. I had a really good week. How was yours?
Oh, man. Exhausting. I've done a lot of traveling. Last Monday, I flew to Florida. Then on Thursday, I flew to Ohio. And I came back home Monday night, late Monday night. Then tomorrow I go to Nashville. So I'm just
scared. You need to sit down for a little while.
I'm tired. But I'm grateful. I am really grateful that I get to do what I love. Get to spend time with family. I went home to Ohio to celebrate my daddy's birthday. So
okay.
That was a joy. But man, getting with my family, my cousins, my uncles and aunts and old friends, man, I laugh so hard. I'm tired. Like we will laugh you to sleep. So man, it's wonderful though. It's wonderful. We gave my daddy his flowers. And he was overjoyed. So
that's amazing.
It was great. I had a little accident though. Never in my life have I had an accident. I had an accident. So,
wow.
Hey, Angelica, Devonda, Valerie, Orlando is in the building. Pennsylvania is in the building. ATL. Yeah, man. I was, there's this place called Craniac, where I'm from.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like they have this giant indoor Christmas land.
Okay.
And I went. Hadn't been in many, many years. So it was a good thing. Went. I'm leaving. The parking lot was crazy. And I'm backing up And this lady decides to drive behind me as I'm backing up, and I backed into this lady.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So my as high as my week was, that was a little cloud, but it's all good. Mm-hmm. It's all good. Man, I don't even know where to start with you. You are into so many amazing, amazing things. Ladies and gentlemen, my girl Victoria is so dope. I will start with, you are Miss Plus Size.
Outstanding queen of American Beauty's Plus.
Whew. Now, yes, tell me about that. How'd you get into the pageantry?
Truthfully, I did not want to go into pageantry. I was persuaded by a coach named Stacey Bryant, and she was like, this is going to be good for you. It's going to be good for business. And I was like, nah, you know what I mean? Nobody's beauty queen. They're not going to do it. And I started to get into it, and I really, really started to love it. And it's been phenomenal. Going out, helping people, just getting myself into different things that I normally wouldn't have gotten into. It's been a great ride.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Want to give a shout out to E. Fat Walker, Kenny Smith. Hey. Okay, so you didn't feel like you were a beauty queen. Is that what I heard you just say?
It wasn't that I didn't feel like I was a beauty queen. I just wasn't into that. Like, I'm not into the girly girl type stuff. Like, I've gotten into it since I've been a beauty queen. But before then, I was just real chill. Like, I don't like a lot of attention. So it was just like, nah, I'm kind of nervous. I don't want to do this. So, yeah, no, it wasn't for me.
Wow. I would never have guessed that, because you have such poise. You seem like you've been doing that for years and years and years. Wow.
One first time coming out the gate, I was like, yes.
Well, wait a minute. Let me find my butt. That's so dope. That's so dope. And your reign is for 1 year?
This one was extended. I got crowned in July, but it usually runs from October to October before COVID hit. So they moved it back. So I got to extend it right this time.
Okay. Go ahead.
Well, where y'all going to see me for a whole nother year. Y'all going to get sick of this sash. Y'all get sick of this.
Sash out, girl. Go sash out. That is so.
For a whole nother year. I had one of my friends say, man, I'm so sick of seeing you in that sash. I don't know what to do. You're going to see it for a whole nother year.
I hate. Oh, that's wonderful. Now, do you have to support some charitable causes? What are some things that you do as the reigning queen?
What I will be doing in December, of course, I go feed the hungry. I give away clothes for women who've suffered from domestic violence. That's what I do more than anything. That's near and dear to my heart. So I try to make sure that those women have the things that they need. I do anything. If you call me and say, hey, can you come to my event? I'm there. Nice. But I love serving people.
Wonderful. I'm glad you mentioned that. I have just recently done a purge. So I have a lot of clothes that I will be happy to give for your cause. For these
please.
Women.
Please do.
Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, I encourage you to purge your closet regularly, man. We don't wear all this stuff that we buy. If my policy is, if I haven't worn it in a year, it has to go.
I tried it, but it don't work for me. It does not work for me. Every time I get it now, I'm like, ooh, I feel good with this. Ooh, this gonna go with them pants shoes.
It makes me not buy things that, like, I'm only gonna wear once, or it makes me really think, ooh, I don't have room. And clutter, I hate clutter. So if my closet is looking kind of, then that means I'm not going to be shopping. So that's my way to discipline myself. And my sister, she's awful. Yes, Jamisa, you're awful. She owns a bridal store, J. Marie Bridal and Formal Wear. Shout out to her. But this girl, I got so many daggone gowns now because of my sister. I'm saying, yes, she's awful, but that's a blessing for me.
It is. That's a blessing. I need to link up with your sister because I need a gown for the pageant in October.
Oh, yeah. J. Marie Bridal and Formal Wear, 1192 Clark Street in Covington.
Way to plug it, baby.
Yes, that's my little sister. That's my little sister. Yes, but she's got some beautiful gowns, but she keeps me fitted tight and right. So yeah, I got a whole section in the closet gowns. Like, oh yeah. But I will definitely I'll definitely link up with you in the next week or so and contribute shoes, dresses, clothes, suits, pants, all kind of stuff. So I'm glad you mentioned that.
Yeah, please do. It's needed.
Yes. Anybody else who would like to donate, feel free to hit me up, DM me on any social media platform or email me at contact@blowingbubblespodcast.com. And I will gladly make sure that your items. Oh, Metro Atlanta. I'm not driving all over the country or flying. But
right.
If you have anything that you would like to contribute to the ladies in the domestic violence shelter or the situation, please DM me or email me at contact@blowingbubblespodcast.com. We definitely want to make sure that those women are supported. Woo! All right, that was a lot. Girl, next I have to talk about your amazing accomplishment. You have a book that you are a contributing writer, and you are a number one international best-selling author. Woo!
Say that again, girl. I like it.
Number one international best-selling author. Wow. Tell us about your contribution to Broken Crayon Still Color.
So in Broken Crayons, I talk about my experience in being a Black woman in corporate America. Talk about how toxic some of my situations were. I had a few incidents where my mental health was jeopardized. So I kind of go into my story of being Black in corporate, and I really want to encourage people to take your mental health seriously when you're in these jobs. There was a lot of racism. There was sexism. It was all the schisms I probably experienced in the workplace. And it wasn't a good situation, but I went through it for a reason, and I wanted to tell the people my story. The book is definitely about overcoming adversities, and I wanted to try to tackle something that we don't always talk about. And so when I sat with it, at first I was supposed to write about a totally different story. And then I prayed about it, and God was like, that's not the story. I got something else. So I waited for a little while. And so the backstory to this is I was supposed to be in volume one. And the day that they hit bestseller, I cried my eyeballs out. I'll never forget. I was like, God, why did you do that to me? Like, you know, I've always wanted to be a bestseller. Like, why? And so God was like, it wasn't your time. And so when I got in this one and we hit number one international bestseller, I was like, oh, God, I see why you did it. So it was that was a journey for me. Just being in those spaces. A lot of times we stay in work environments because we just feel like there's nothing else for us. We don't see any growth within ourselves. So we just sit in stuff. We get complacent. And I hope through my story that people learn that you don't have to be complacent in these toxic work environments. You can do better. You can go somewhere. You can make more money. You just got to believe in yourself and go.
Absolutely. That is. Let me blow some bubbles on that.
Why you send me no bubbles so I can blow them?
I have to get better. Everybody says that. They're like, I don't have any bubbles.
And I will say this too. Next year, I'm going to do a spin on my chapter. And so anybody who has experienced anything in the workplace that you want to talk about, it's open to men and women. We can talk about the microaggressions in corporate America. We can talk about there are different people in the medical field that I've seen say things about childbirth and how Black women are dying every day because of, you know, not picking the right doctors and those types of things. If you have a story that you want to tell about being Black in corporate America, please reach out to me, because next year we're going to hit the ground running and we're going to get this thing going, because the word needs to be spread. Yeah, you too. I already got you in a chapter.
I literally have, on the corporate side, I have three major American corporations that I had horrible experiences at all three of them. And not to mention, I am a carpenter by trade. Baby, I could write a whole book by myself on that.
I know you can.
My journey, like, I've literally had a person who was, I think this man was the shop steward. I'm a union carpenter. And the shop steward is supposed to be the person who looks out for you and takes a... Man, this man literally pulled a shotgun on me and tried to fill me up on a job. I wish I could remember his name. I could still see his face.
I'm stuck.
Baby, I can write a whole book. That was, I walked off the job that day because I was like, I keep getting put in situations. We were building a bridge and I was, I could have been pushed and he was like, oh, she fell. So yeah, I walked off the job that day.
Wow.
Yes. Good for you. Stories on stories on stories. So anybody out there, if you all have stories that you would like to share, you want to write and encourage other people with your journey, hit my sister up. How can they be considered for that project?
They can DM me on Instagram or Facebook, Victoria Poole on Facebook, Visions of Validation on Instagram.
Okay.
And we'll get rolling.
Cool. Another thing that you have going on, you have really done well in the coaching space. Tell me about your coaching business. What is your specialty?
So I am a certified life and business executive coach, but my specialty is singles. My platform for the pageant is also called Value and Validity, Finding Clarity During Your Single Season. So I do a lot of work with helping women discover themselves before entering new relationships. Because a lot of times, you know, we point fingers and say, oh, this person did something to me. But we don't ever really take the time to figure out what roles we play in things. So I try to help women with that.
Nice. Introspect is very important. Okay. And what are some of the things that you're experiencing in this space that some good things, some challenges? What, because I hear a lot of people who are they're calling themselves coaches, and you threw some credentials out there. You said certified.
That didn't
go over my head. Tell us about your experiences as a certified life and executive.
Girl, you're going to get me started. So I'm going to say this. this might take a turn, but I will say right now, the biggest challenge that I am seeing is we have too many people on social media that's giving advice that really shouldn't be. They out here trauma bonding with these clients and people think, oh, because it's relatable, it's law. I've been through that too. So it got to be right. No, both of y'all messed up. Ain't nobody healing. Like, we giving advice as a trauma response. And so trying to undo that when I get clients is crazy because they're giving out general information with no real solutions. So we got to be careful about the things that we're watching on social media because everything isn't correct.
Absolutely.
And just because it's your reality, again, doesn't make it right.
Absolutely. Listen.
Oh. Girl, when I tell you sometimes I sit over here and I'm like, I just can't believe some of the foolishness that I see. And I'm very passionate about rebuilding the Black family.
Yes.
Like, if I don't do nothing else while I'm on this planet, I want to make sure that Black people experience real love within the household. And it's disturbing to see it. And I wish it would stop. And again, everything starts with us. If we really start looking at ourselves and saying, you know what, if I hadn't have done this, or if you map back to your childhood, some of the trauma that you had, you'll realize that your way of thinking is wrong. And that's what I had to do. That's how I came up with Value and Validity. I was in a real toxic situation. And I had to sit with myself because I was like, I ain't never seen nothing like this. My daddy didn't treat my mama like this. Like, where did you learn this stuff? And so I mentioned on another podcast, you know, when I was little, I used to watch all these different Disney shows and all these different fairy tales. And I made up in my mind that this was how love is supposed to look. And it wasn't at all. So I've been moving throughout my relationships and it wasn't right. I was struggling loving some of these people. And so I had to really do the work and really look inside of me to say, okay, we got to stop this. We got to change our way of thinking. We got to kill these limits and beliefs. We got to stop people from putting things inside of you. Like you got to do better. So I encourage people as you're watching people on social media, all these influencers, like pray for discernment. Please pray for discernment because everything that's being pumped isn't true. And I'm going to be honest, coaches ain't really supposed to give advice like that. We're supposed to be pulling things out of you. So I'm just saying, you gotta pick your poison.
Right.
So we got to do better.
So what was your personal turning point that woke you up? What pulled the wool from over your eyes?
Oh, again, being in a toxic relationship when God just literally had to bring me to my knees and I didn't know which way to go. I was like, God, how did I get here? Like, how did I get here? And so, not to get too in depth in my situation, but I'm a domestic violence survivor. And again, I never saw that in the household. So I was like, oh my God. And I had to really sit with myself. I had to feel it. I had to cry. I had to go all the way back. I had to do therapy. I did a lot of therapy. I'm a coach with a therapist because I needed it.
Therapists need therapists.
Yeah, they do. We do. Coaches need coaches and therapists need therapists. So I just had to do a lot of work, a whole lot of work.
Wow. Okay. What was your time span? Like, can you quantify how long it took you before you felt like you had stood up on solid footing from that abusive situation?
It took years. I would never put a time limit on your healing or how long it takes you to experience something.
I wanted you to say that. That's exactly what I wanted you to say. Healing is a journey, not a destination.
It is a journey. And when you think you're healed, you're not really healed. Like for one minute, you can be feeling amazing. And then the next minute, something will trigger you. And you're like, oh my God, how did I get here? I thought we were done with this. So we use heal, but we really are in a process of healing. So for anybody watching, take as long as you need to take. Now, I'm not saying sit in something forever because you shouldn't do that because that leads to depression and a whole bunch of other things. But you definitely should embrace what you're going through and try to move past it. Like, you got to push past it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And the thing that is most important I want to pull out of what you just said is it took years. We can often get distracted and discouraged because we are not where we think we should be with healing and how we feel and overcoming a situation. It can take years. Some people might bounce back quicker. I remember going to a therapist and something that she said, I wish I knew her name because she was trash. I would love to tell people not to go to this girl. I am a top tier Google reviewer, baby. I got almost 5 million people following me on Google. If I remembered that girl's name, I would purely give her a shout out so she would not do this to anybody else.
Wow.
She literally made me want to drive in the head on in the traffic. But she said something with relating to grief. And she said, well, as long as you were in that situation that you are grieving, that's how long you're going to need to heal. And I was like, the worst thing she could have said to me. Because it's like, I got to feel like this for 20 years.
No, it really and truly, like with coaching and therapy and healing, it's what you put into it. If you do the work, then the process will be easier for you. But if you just sitting around waiting on things to change, then it's not gonna happen.
Sometimes, but every situation is different. Sometimes you're so broken what are you putting out? You, like, in that instance, I didn't know what to do. It took everything I had to keep breathing. I was just that far gone in that instance, and I couldn't see the light. But it took for her to make me mad. Once you make me mad, the door's done. Like,
that's what you needed, though.
I did. I needed it. I needed it. But
the thing is,
there was so many things she said, like, over the course. It was about a month and a half I was going to this chick. I wish I knew her name.
But yeah, I'm gonna say this though. A lot of times we can condition to BS, right? And so sometimes it takes for us to listen to somebody say something absolutely crazy to us for us to move. So that's really what you needed to hear. So I'm glad that she said that to you, and I'm glad you can't do a review, because I guess God might have sent her in your life just to make you move.
I don't know.
She need to make some other folks mad so they can move.
The reason I say she was trash, because she made it all about her. Like,
oh,
what? Yeah, not just her saying that. No, that was like just one thing that I remember. She made it about her. Like, oh yeah, because I did it. And the closest loss she ever had was her dog. Girl,
Corona.
You should not call yourself a grief counselor.
Hey, that's why I don't coach on. If I haven't experienced it, I don't coach on it. That's something that I do not want to be. I do not want to be a grief coach. Don't call me for that. I don't need God to put me through no type of test. Because when you call, he sure put you through what you call to. But don't call me for that, because I'm not doing it.
Send him my way. I'm gonna tell him.
I can go through this grief with these relationships, but baby, we're not doing the death.
Now, how long were you in the relationship that was toxic? The abusive?
3-4 years. Mm-hmm. Well, let me say this. I was physically there for 3 or 4 years. It took me 7 years to leave mentally.
Wow.
Yeah, took me 7 years to leave mentally.
Break that down for me. What do you mean by that? Leave mentally.
After the relationship was done, so much trauma had occurred that I literally had to work myself out of the relationship. Even after it ended, I still was kind of like on edge, like I was, you know, still with them. So mentally, it was like I was still trapped. I couldn't escape my mind. So I had gone, things were over, I was done, and that mind was like, nope. We ain't going nowhere.
Wow.
So it took a while to break free. But I did. I did the work. Yeah. And it was. And the crazy thing about it is we look at experiences and we think, oh, this is the worst thing that could have ever happened to me. But when I tell you, that was somewhat of a blessing, because I didn't really know myself. I thought I knew myself before I got in the situation, but I really didn't. And so it's crazy to say I thank God for it, but I do. I really do. Because now I get to help other people that have gone through it. Like my story is not just for me, it's for other people, for me to save somebody. So I'm cool with it. And it's a crazy little story to this. I always tell people, you got to be careful what you pray for. When I was a little girl, I used to watch Lifetime with my mom. And I can remember asking her one day, like, Mama, where are the black people on Lifetime? Because, you know, back in the day, it wasn't no black people on Lifetime. And she was like, girl, black people, we don't do this kind of stuff. And I was like, I'm gonna be the first woman to write a Lifetime movie. And baby, I prayed about that thing. And God was like, yep, you're gonna be the first one. All right. And I, you know, when I was praying, that was a kid. I didn't think to ask him for it in my imagination. He had to give me the experience. So we don't get to tell God how to bless us. When we ask him for something, if we're not specific, he's gonna give it to us. And so when I went back and I was thinking about that thing, I was like, you know what, God, I can't even be mad, because I asked you for this. You gave it to me, so I'm gonna make it do what it do, and I'm gonna make it shake.
That's a beautiful outlook. That is so true, though. We want the blessing, but we don't always understand that it's not gonna come wrapped up with a bow.
Mm-mm.
That thing might come with razor blades and
all kind of
any little thing, booby traps galore.
Yeah,
man. And so you are specializing in helping in relationships. Have you had any interaction with the people on social media that you deem kind of reckless?
No, I wouldn't say I've had any reckless experiences. But you know how social media go. It may go that way. Well, I'm gonna say the only thing that I could say is that could have been reckless if I didn't have myself together mentally. I did a podcast clip on another show, and all of the men were like, "Oh, she's beautiful, but it's her size." And I was like, "Yeah, but all of us, the little women, the big chicks, all of us are experiencing the same thing." Well, I'm not gonna say all of us are experiencing the same thing, because sometimes we pee in our own pool. Like we always say, it's pee in a dating pool. Sometimes we pee in our own pool. But there are a lot of people who are having similar experiences, and it's not just plus size women. There are smaller. I have one friend. She's very slim, very beautiful. Same thing. You know what I'm saying? So it's all the way across the board. So it was just I guess it's these passport bros that people talk about all the time. They, you know, got in the comments, and they got ate up real quick, and I had to shut it down because it got real. Because my friends and my family, baby, when I tell you they pulled up with a stick.
Okay.
They weren't playing.
That's interesting. I can truly say that it is not exclusive of any characteristic of a woman, any socioeconomic demographic, not a race, nothing. It's people are people, and we experience life in so many similar ways. It's I don't know what, and I'm not at all a man basher, but I mean to tell you, some of y'all leave me scratching my head.
Some of us leave me scratching my head. It's both sides.
It is both sides. And I'm going to do a probably my first live in-person episode with men and women together. And we're going to talk about this thing. I want to know from different people, different perspectives. I've experienced, just because they grow. Get older, they don't necessarily grow up. It's some real goofballs, this senior citizens out here.
Like, yeah, I'm gonna ask you this though.
Yeah,
are you looking at the types of men that you're entertaining? Have you found a pattern in them?
Number one, I can't really say I'm really entertaining. But I'm looking at not only my experiences that I hear other people talk about. But my one commonality, and it's so crazy, I seem to draw people who are party animals. They drink, and I'm like, I don't drink, I don't smoke. Those kind of people are attracted to me, and I don't know why. I seem to, when I do attract somebody, I draw them.
That's interesting.
I don't know what that's about. I want to
dig so much into this. That's interesting.
Big, man. I don't know what that's about.
Where are you meeting these people?
It could be anywhere. Okay. It can be any random place. Yeah, I tried online dating a couple years back. Now one thing I will say about online dating, I made some dope friends. I got some real cool friends. Like, we partners. I get that a lot. I'm like the homie. I'm the homie.
Now, one thing I have never done, I've never done the online dating thing. I think I'm terrified of that. I'm cool. Like, if I don't meet you out somewhere, I don't want it.
Yeah. I didn't like connect too deeply, but I definitely have made some friends But I don't know. I'm in chill mode. I'm in chill mode because I know what I want, and I'm super duper duper focused on achieving some things. So yeah, but I don't know why I attract the party animals.
That's interesting. When I tell you I want to have a whole coaching session, you need to call me after this because we gotta dig in for this. Because I don't want to dig into your business right now. You'd be like, oh, I wasn't ready. She done exposed all my business. She done told me some things. Yeah, we gotta tap into that.
I ain't scared. Go for it. If something gets too like risque and I don't want to answer, I'll just say that. But I'm here. Mom, my mother. You might want to plug it. No, I'm just kidding. I ain't scared. I'm a whole grown woman. I got grandchildren.
Look, I do want to go back to one thing that you did say, and you again, we were talking about the experiences that other people are having. We got to be careful about these trauma bonds again, because I was raised in love, right? I know exactly what it looks like. You can't tell me that it don't exist and that I'm not going to get it. Absolutely. But there are another set of people who've never experienced that, that tell me that my reality is just never going to happen. Mm-hmm. And so, when you got people that think like that and that never experience it, again, giving advice and just having conversations, you got to be real careful with it.
Yeah,
you got to be real careful with it.
I don't really dwell around people like that, but you know, sometimes you'll have people who just share their experiences. I am such a repellent for negativity. I'll cut you off real quick. So that I'm definitely cool with. I'm good on that. But you know, just hearing girlfriends or acquaintances talk about their experiences, I don't know if my challenge has been that I have long-term relationships and I know what it feels like to be loved the way that I deserve to be loved. Mm-hmm. And that right there, that's a mountain in and of itself.
Yeah.
Once you've had it, it's like, I already know what I like. That this isn't it.
So what you already have, do you feel like you'll never achieve that again?
Not at all. I know it's there for me. I know it's there for me. And I know that the relationships that I did have prepared me for where I'm going. So I wasn't even my best self in the longest relationship that I had. So me now, This is straight queenness right here. This is wifey. That's what I say. I'm a whole wife in these streets. And I am not the one to settle for anything at all. At all.
I'm glad you know what you want.
Heck yeah. I know what I want. And my parents, I was raised in love too. My parents, although they did divorce, they're still the best of friends. Both of my parents are remarried and have been with their current spouses for 30 some years. I had the examples of my grandparents and my great grandparents and aunts and uncles and cousins. I have a bunch of friends who have, like, my classmates I graduated with, who've been married over 30 years. So that's who my squad is.
That's a beautiful thing, man.
Absolutely. It's what I saw. I didn't see I didn't see fighting and all that stuff. Like, my family is the drama free when it comes to, like, once you're in the family, you're family. Like,
yeah,
you know, we'll adopt you. Okay. It's just
remember that too.
Yeah. So I'm confident that, you know, the when he finds me, I'm ready.
That's good. I'm glad you read it. I'm ready too. Whenever mine show up, we're gonna have us a good old time. Hey, but until he get here, I'm gonna continue to work on me and love on myself and explore different things, explore the world. Like I'm just all for self-growth, because going into something new, man, you don't want to bring a whole bunch of baggage, and you don't want nobody to come with baggage either. The better the relationship.
Okay. Now, did I lost my question. I had a question. We gotta be broken in love, which y'all saying. First time on, have not seen you in years. Hey, Crystal. Yes, yes, yes. And if you all have any questions for Victoria, man, let's get it. Let's get to it. Have you experienced on the dating scene any challenges based on your drive and your accomplishments? Like, are you seeing that men don't like your ambitions per se?
I'm gonna tell you, my challenge is not necessarily my accomplishments. It's the mental health space, because I do so much work on myself and I do go to therapy. I would like somebody else who does the same. I need you to match my energy when it comes to healing. And so that's where the biggest challenge comes in for me. Now, as far as my accomplishments and this whole a man should be doing this and doing that. And so I've worked in HR for a long time. And I'm going to tell you, we don't realize that as Black women, we were set up to make more money than men. And that's not a conversation that we really have. So people be like, oh, he got to make this and he got to make that. And I've had so many conversations with people and they so on the materialistic stuff. Nobody's worried about the character anymore. And so with me seeing that Black women are making way more money than Black men, like, I mean, we kind of got to let up a little bit. And I know some people going to be like, oh, I ain't listening to that. You know, he got to provide and he got to pay for this and da 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 da. And I ain't going 50-50. Let me tell you something. Sometimes you got to go 50-50. I ain't saying you got to do it the whole time. But I mean, these Black men are struggling just like the Black women are struggling. And we got to stop battling. All this foolishness is... It's crazy. It's really crazy. Right. So I'm not even
the idea of sitting down saying we have to go 50-50. I cringe with that, honestly. But here's what I say to women who have a problem with it. Are you willing to cut back your spending? Are you willing to adjust your habits so that your man don't have to kill himself to give you the ability to go get your nails done every week, to eat out 3 and 4 nights a week? Are you willing to adjust to a reasonable budget that fits your household? You don't want to go 50-50? Well, stop your frivolous spending. That's what I challenge women who don't want to. I just don't like the idea of the 50-50 concept, because it's like we're going in. Say you get a raise and we get a bigger house based on that raise. And you make a lot more money that can accommodate that. Now I'm supposed to still go 50-50. I'm just cautious of just labeling that. Let's put our money together. Let's make sure that we can sustain a healthy budget and that we're not struggling financially. I'm not over here watching you kill yourself and my money is my money because you're the man.
Yep.
No, yep. That's selfish. That is so selfish. Don't do that, ladies. I'm gonna say don't do it. Don't.
Yeah, and I watched my mom and dad for years. And when I tell you, my mom helped my dad and my dad helped my mom, like it was, if one had to lean on the other one, and that's what it was. Like that's how they made their marriage work. And listen, if I get with somebody and I'm not saying I want to be on the struggle bus. That's not what I'm saying at all. Like you got to have something going for yourself. You got to get up. You got to work. You can't be playing video games, watching the Falcons play all day long and ain't doing nothing. And ain't got nothing coming in. That's not what I'm saying. But again, I need you to match my energy. Come the way I'm coming. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes we got to, We gotta start asking for stuff that we can't provide ourselves. If you can't do it, what make you think somebody else can do it? Or that somebody else gonna want to do it for you and you ain't doing it for yourself?
Precisely. Absolutely. I believe in meeting my own expectations.
Mm-hmm.
I don't ask nor expect for anything that I'm not willing to do or give. So when I say I want something or need something or expect something from my mate, I'm already knowing that if you ask for that same thing back, I got you.
Yeah.
I got you. Yeah. I have to, I'm such a giver and such a helper. I always have to make sure that I'm just not going overboard and going crazy. Because I had a friend of mine a few years ago, he said to me, Karana, don't be mad at people for being who they are. Givers give and takers take. I said, yeah. Oh my God. That right there, Eric Campbell, I shout your name, my boy. That was a bar and I never forgot it. I was like, I never think of that.
Mm-hmm.
Givers give and takers take. Don't be mad at somebody for being who they are.
Yeah.
Dang it. So yeah, man, I that right there was all that I needed. I've been chewing on that nugget for 6 years now.
Yep.
I literally have. I don't expect anybody. I use my discernment and I listen very well. And I don't, when people, man, I'm a woman, so I can only give you a woman's perspective. Men tell you who they are. They show you who they are. Most of the time, women, we ain't listening.
Yeah, yeah. And once you know, it's on you. But the people don't want to hear that. You feel what I'm saying? Oh, he did this and he did that to me. Yeah, but you allowed it to happen.
That's what I say.
No, I ain't going to shoot. You allowed it to happen. And these conversations that I had with myself. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you would have just stopped talking and listened a little bit, he told you who he was in the very beginning. You want to keep talking. Okay. And he going to let you too.
And sometimes he don't have to say it. If you just watch people, they don't have to say anything. Just watch. But see, a lot of times women, when we get in these situations and we meet people, we talk too much. We give the man a whole ticket on how to run through us. Because we don't shut up long enough to for anything to manifest. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Stop telling. So what are your thoughts on these ridiculous lists that have been floating around? Don't take me to the Cheesecake Factory.
Let me tell you something. If you take me to the Cheesecake Factory, I'm gonna get me some what, them Cajun Chicken Littles and a red velvet cheesecake. Like, this stuff is foolishness. It's dumb. It's really
it's
dumb.
So crazy. The one that surprised me on that list was church.
I did see that.
Church is amazing first date. Because if church is something that is important in your life and you don't address that up front, what if that person has a real radical church and you come from a real conservative church and you be like, ooh, I don't know if I can conform to that. That might make you uncomfortable. Now you just wasted 6 months because you wanted to wait before you went to church.
Yeah.
Some things like meeting the family. Okay, I might understand that one. I can understand.
Yeah, no, I don't want to meet your family on the first date. No, I'm good on that.
Now, yeah, if that was on the list. Understand that.
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
That one was on the list. But Cheesecake Factory, I'm like, first of all, it's not even an inexpensive restaurant.
Mm-mm.
There's far more expensive restaurants, but when a woman really is mature and she is into you, brothers, hear me. Baby, she ain't even mad if you got a Groupon. You took your time to spend and plan a date with her.
Mm-hmm.
We're good.
A woman that wants you, like you said, she wants time.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And if I care about you, I care about your finances because I'm looking at how you spend money. I don't want you out here blowing no money.
Yep.
You're going to have me working harder. I don't want to work that hard. We're going 50-50 because you got to have it. but yes, I thought they were so crazy. And then the man came back with, I'm like, oh, can we stop? Can we stop?
Yeah. Oh, did you see the one where they said that not to date the man, they got the bank account is Cash App and stuff like that. And stuff like that, I can agree with that. Yeah, if you got no real bank account now, wait a minute now. That's the same to talk about.
If you don't have a real bank account, that's a problem.
Yeah, yeah.
I look at things like you. So I'm in my 50s.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really like young men. So if a man hasn't had the same job for more than 5 years, that's a problem. That shows instability to me. It's the same career field. He doesn't have to have the same employer. But if you haven't done the same thing for 5 years and you're over 50, that's a problem. You're not going to stick to anything.
That's an interesting way of thinking. Because, see, I look at it, and I see what you're saying with the stability. But if you're working towards something and everything that you're doing is a step up, then I can get with it.
If you are in your 50s and you have not done the same thing consistently for 5 straight years, you haven't built anything up. I'm telling you what I know.
Well, look, I'm going to take your right word. I ain't got to my 50s yet.
It might be a unicorn out there, but I'm telling you, if you haven't done the same thing for 5 years, you ain't stable. You're going to keep bouncing from thing to thing to thing. And it may not even make sense. You might. Now, here's the thing. I am a serial entrepreneur, and I've done a lot of very different things. So that's not at all what I'm saying. So y'all people that know me and been knowing me for a long time, don't come for me, please. That's not what I'm saying, because I have done the same thing for very long. I'll take a break and do something and try something. When I recognize it's not going, I'm going right back to my steady Freddy. So yeah, that's something that I look at. I don't know if I was really, you know, kind of feeling a person, would I make an exception? I'd have to look at the whole picture. Like, okay, what does the whole life look like? You know, does he own anything? Does he have a bank account? What kind of portfolio do you have? If you don't even have a retirement package, like, if you can't see yourself sitting down but in maybe 15, 20 years because you've been bouncing all over the place, bro, I'm going to leave you in the dust. I'm going to leave you in the dust. It's just that simple.
Interesting.
I just know me, and I just have to know, hey, Uncle Ray, I just happen to know myself. And I'm telling you, they flighty his head. Pay attention.
Yeah, like I said, I ain't in my 50, so you might could teach me something on that one. But I mean, like I say, if I haven't
done the same thing for more than 5 years,
I can see it. I guess with me thinking about the whole thing, what I was saying about the broken crayons, some environments just ain't good environments. Like I'm not finna stay in nothing that I don't feel like I'm growing in or any of that. But again, you talking about men in your 50s. I'm a woman in my 30s, so it's a different ball game.
Environment. If every environment you go to, you saying it's toxic, maybe it's you.
It could be some truth to that too. But man, the way some of these jobs and careers are going, man, customer service ain't like it used to be. Management is not like it used to be. Like,
it's not. It's,
yeah, I can agree with you, but I can disagree with you on that too.
Yeah, not necessarily the same employer, but like if you are I'm a carpenter. If you are a 50-year-old telling me you're a carpenter and you haven't done one single thing. I worked for a bunch of different employers over the last dang near 30 years. If I can't ask you about your resume and it doesn't include 5 years doing the same thing. Not necessarily the same employer. I don't think I've ever done 5 years with an employer. know, but I've done the same thing.
I got you. I'm following you now on the same thing. Yeah, I'm following you.
Yeah,
I'm following
you on that. Because, you know, I have a need to change. So I get it, but you're over 50 and you can't, man, you still don't, you ain't fully vested in nothing. You don't have a pension plan, bro. What you, how you taking care of me? Man, our needs are different at this age. No, we need to, yeah. You start to think about things differently at this stage in life. I don't want to, I work hard now because I love what I do and I'm not physically working hard. I have been able to transition from working physical construction to doing compliance and oversight and transitioning that into my real estate career. So it works and it works well, but they all tie together. I didn't know in 96 that I was going to be a real estate broker. You know what I'm saying? But it built, one thing built on the next, and they transition. So it's working for me. If I didn't have so many years as a employee, I wouldn't have anything to stand on, and I would have to keep working. But I go hard now just because I love what I do, and I got some big goals that involve legacy mindset. It's not about me no more. I'm right. Good. My kids, my grandkids, it's for them now. And if I just need a person, it's all going back to being equally yoked. If you're not equally yoked with your mate, wherever you're at, if you're content flipping burgers, baby, you better find somebody flipping fries. You know, I'm just saying. I literally dated a man once that he had to get a good job mindset. He did not like my ambitions as an entrepreneur. I was managing a studio and he was like, I just don't get that studio stuff. You need a job. You know who I'm working with?
You asked me that question too about have I had challenges with that. See, the first time I heard that, I think I would have been out because I know that I'm forever moving with stuff and I need you to support me. So if you can't support what I got going on, because I'm going to support you and I'm going to rock with you no matter what you got going on, as long as you're doing it with integrity. But I can't get with that. I can't get with that because it's going to come a point to where they're going to. Yeah, it's going to come a point to where they're going to start to get jealous of the career and you making moves and you being around different types of people. Like, I don't have time for that. I don't. My thing is this. I have a purpose. Yeah, and I have a purpose and a calling on my life, and I understand that. And at this point in life, no man can interfere with that. Like, you got to be on the same page with God. You got to know that I got to do this in order to fulfill my purpose with God. And if we in sync, you're going to understand that. You're going to be moving in the same direction. So yeah, I can't get with.
Yeah. And I had to learn that the hard way, you know, that being in sync and being very mindful of making sure that the man is following God first and foremost. One of my favorite phrases to say is, I can't follow a parked car, baby. Where you following? What you doing? Yeah. If you are not in line, and now I use my discernment and I know so quick now, I don't really waste time. Sometimes I just get bored and I might entertain something, but I don't follow nobody who's not already following God. Period.
Yeah.
Because you can't lead me.
Yeah. Right. And you're not going to lead me to destruction. That's what you're not going to do. And right. See, for me, I don't mind being submissive. I don't mind allowing you to lead, but you got to show me that you can lead. If you're not leading yourself, because I pay attention, baby. If you ain't leading yourself, I'm not even going to tangle myself up with it. I've been there, done that, not doing it. You got to lead you before you can lead me. And when I'm satisfied with watching you lead yourself, then I jump in the mix. But until then, No, thank you. Don't want it.
Yeah. Now, what does it take for someone to work with you in your coaching business?
All they have to do is reach out to me. I'm gonna be completely honest. Again, if it's something that I have not experienced, I will not coach you on it. I'm not in it for the dollar. I don't care anything about that. Again, it's purpose filled for me. So if I can help you, I'm gonna help you. If not, I'll get you to somebody that can help you. But they always can reach out to me, DM me. They can visit my website. My website is www.thevovbrand. And they can follow me on Instagram, Visions of Validation. Just reach out to me. I am going to tell you the truth. I do not work with narcissists. I work with anybody but narcissists. if you're not willing to learn, don't come to me. I'm not going to argue with you. I'm not going to go back and forth. I don't need the hassle. I just don't. But as long as you're willing to do the work,
How do you weed out the narcissist?
Oh, I know them like that. First conversation.
Give us some tips on how to spot a narcissist.
Ooh.
And are male and female narcissists similar? Or do they have different nuances between each?
It's some similarities to it, but I'm going to tell you this. Starting off in the beginning, sometimes you won't even know what it is. Mm. Sometimes it takes, for some people, it takes years for you to even spot it. But of course, the gaslighting is always a clear indication. Them making you feel like you're always wrong when you know you're not wrong. That's a clear indication that you are dealing with a narcissist. Some narcissists tend to be sneaky. You have to pay attention. I notice, like, when I do discovery calls, in 15 minutes, I know everything I need to know about you. If you want to be combative with me, not doing it. Not going to do it. But gaslighting is one of the biggest signs of a narcissist.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, when you see that somebody is gaslighting you, chances are you're dealing with a narcissist. Yeah. One thing that I read, there was a whole list of things. I was like, ooh, I experienced that. In relationships, they often love bomb you.
They do. That's why I said in the beginning, you won't see it.
And shout out to Queen and Roshana in the comments. they come on strong and they let you believe they're everything that you are looking for. And that representative is sharp, honey. They
bomb, baby.
They are crafty. They are very good. They are very good. Yeah. I love it. I love it. I love it. So what do you have coming up next? Anything exciting? Anything big? Any events?
Yeah, I got something that's big that I haven't talked about. The people closest to me know, but I am getting ready to release a series of children's books. And
oh my gosh.
Yes, I've been in the lab writing. I already got four under my belt and they're going through illustrations and everything now. So hopefully by the top of the year, I will at least have released one of my children's books. But I'm super excited about it.
Nice. Awesome. That is so exciting. Well, when you release your books, you're gonna have to come back and talk.
Okay, I will. I definitely will. And we're gonna keep our fingers crossed. I've been looking for a spot to have a singles retreat this year. I think it's needed. And so I've been looking for that. I've gotten some outrageous numbers, but I'm gonna try to make it affordable for the people, and so we can get together and do that. And of course, I'm gonna start back doing the group coaching probably monthly. So,
okay,
got a lot of things.
It's hard. The numbers are ridiculous. I'm like, didn't y'all suffer from COVID? You should be charging lower rates. Nobody booking you like that.
I will be honest. I wasn't one of them people that suffered in COVID, so I can't even say that. Like, I think I thrived during COVID, so I can't even.
I mean, as far as commercial real estate, this is the perspective I'm coming from. Buildings, they didn't charge like the masses left commercial real estate.
Yeah.
So to me, it's like y'all trying to recoup some of that money because you should be supply and demand. Demand is low. I'm thinking your prices need to be low too.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's
everything's going up.
Everything. Yeah. I'm
pay $20 for some eggs, $12 for some milk. And I knew something was wrong when I started counting money. I was like, wait a minute, I just pay $40 for some cheese? Like, yeah, no, we ain't doing this.
Yeah, that's why I haven't made certain things lately. Like, do we really need lasagna?
You can eat a noodle with that food.
Oh, man. Well, it has been a pleasure. Do you have any final words before we wrap up, Victoria?
I just want to tell you, thank you for having me on the show. I really, really appreciate it. Again, when I was talking about people making sure you're careful about what you're watching on social media, everybody isn't coaching or giving advice from a heel place. So make sure that, again, you're praying for discernment and you're really doing the work that you need to do to heal, because all this advice isn't good advice. So we just got to do a better job of being able to decipher what's what.
Absolutely. I love it. I love it. I love it. And my two cents on top of that is, if you're taking relationship advice from somebody that's calling themselves a coach, first ask them, how long is their longest relationship? And on that note, we're going to sign off and I will say, stay popping.
Bye.
Lost my life. My bow is the screen up. I can't get to my thing. It says end. There we go.
Maybe Jesus wants us to stay on here a little longer.